नामाचार्य श्रीला हरिदास ठाकुर की। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंदा श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंदा श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की। ब्रजभूमि वृंदावन धाम की। नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की। गंगा माई की, जमुना माई की, तुलसी देवी की, भक्ति देवी की, सामवेद गौर भक्त वृंद की। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा। हरे कृष्ण। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुधीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमः पंकजनाभाय। नमः पंकजमालिने। नमः पंकजनेत्राय। नमस्ते पंकजांघ्रिये। So we are reading. From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 7, Verse Number 21. We will continue with the second part of what we did yesterday. Purushatve cha mam dhira Sankhya Yoga Visharada Avistaram prapashyanti Sarvashaktyupabhrammitam Purushatve cha mam dhira Sankhya Yoga Visharada Avistaram prapashyanti Sarvashaktyupabhrammitam Purushatve cha mam dhira Sankhi Yoga Visharadha Avistaram Prapashyanti Sarva Shaktyupa Brahmitam. sarva-shakti-upabhramitam. Purushatve, in the human form of life, cha and mam, me, dhira, those free from envy through spiritual knowledge. Sankhya Yoga, in the spiritual science composed of analytical knowledge and devotion to the Supreme. Visharada, who are expert. Avistaram, directly manifest. Prapashyanti, they clearly see. Sarva, all. Shakti, with my energies. Upabrahmitam, fully endowed. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. In the human form of life, those who are self-controlled and expert in the spiritual science of Sankhya can see me, can directly see me along with all of my potencies. Purport. So we'll go to the second part of the purport today, that is starting from. A spiritual master becomes bona fide by his full surrender to his spiritual master. But as explained in this chapter, one may also act as his own guru. This means that an intelligent and perceptive person can understand the nature of this world and his own limitations. Such a person then becomes very much inclined to associate with the pure devotees of the Lord and to receive the mercy of those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sankhya Yoga, as described here, refers to the rigorous intellectual progress of the Jnana Yoga system along with devotion of Bhakti Yoga, which emphasizes the mercy of the lotus feet of the pure devotees. Actually, Jnana Yoga is a factor in the Bhakti Yoga system, since Krishna is Jnana Gamya, or the goal of all knowledge. The Lord also says in Bhagavad Gita 10.10 that He personally enlightens a sincere devotee with all knowledge. In this chapter, Lord Krishna is training Uddhava to see the Lord's personal form in the course of His daily experiences in the material world. The Lord has already indicated to Uddhava that He will travel throughout the world in samadhi or trance, and now Lord Krishna is preparing Uddhava to travel as a true sannyasi, seeing the personality of Godhead everywhere. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalitam Shri Vishakhanvitam Shyam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೆ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನು ಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯ ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾತ್ಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಟುಡೇ ಇಸ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಶ್ರೀಲಾ ಹರಿದಾಸ್, ಹಿಸ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಪ್ರಭು ವಾಸ್ ಸಪೋಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಟುಡೇ, ಬಟ್ ಸಿನ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸಮ್ ರೀಸನ್ ಹಿ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಏಬಲ್ ಟು ರೀಚ್ ಬಾಂಬೇ ಇನ್ ಟೈಮ್, ಹಿ ಆಸ್ಕ್ಡ್ ಮೀ ಟು, ಸೊ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಸಬ್ಸ್ಟಿಟ್ಯೂಟಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಐ ಸೀಕ್. ಸೊ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟೆಂಡಿಂಗ್ ಮೈ ಗ್ರಾಟಿಟ್ಯೂಡ್ ಟು ಹಿಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಟು ಆಲ್ ದ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಸ್ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಹಿಯರ್. ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದ ಒಡಾಸಿಟಿ ಟು ಸ್ಪೀಕ್ ಇನ್ ಫ್ರಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಆಗಸ್ಟ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಆಫ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಸ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಐ ನೋ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದೆಮ್ ಆರ್ ಸೋ ಹೈಲಿ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಫೈಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಅ ಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಫ್ರಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದೆಮ್, ಬಟ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಎನ್ಕರೇಜ್ಡ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಐ ನೋ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೋ ಮಚ್ ಆಫ್ ಲವ್ ಇನ್ ದರ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್. ಸೊ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಸೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಯುವರ್ ಬ್ಲೆಸ್ಸಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಟ್ರೈಂಗ್ ಟು ಸ್ಪೀಕ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್. ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಉದ್ಧವ್ ಗೀತಾ, ವಿಚ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಸ್ ವಾಸ್ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೇನ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಐ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಭು, ಹೂ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ ಮಚ್ ಅರ್ಲಿಯರ್ ಆನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್. ಫರ್ದರ್ ಎಲಾಬರೇಷನ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ದಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ಸ್ಪೋಕನ್ ಟು ಅರ್ಜುನ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಅರ್ಜುನ್ ವಾಸ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಬ್ಯಾಟಲ್ ಫೀಲ್ಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೇರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಲಿಟಲ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೇರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಅನ್ ಎಮರ್ಜೆನ್ಸಿ, ದೇರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಅನ್ ಅರ್ಜೆನ್ಸಿ, ಸೊ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಗಿವನ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಇನ್ ಆಲ್ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಮ್ಯಾಥಮೆಟಿಕಲ್ ಇಕ್ವೇಶನ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಸ್. ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಪೆಲೆಟ್ಸ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಔಟ್, ಪೆಲೆಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಬುಲೆಟ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಔಟ್. But here the Lord has more time to explain in detail and elaborate and some of the points and essential features of what he already spoke earlier. So therefore we have an expanded knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita in the Uddhav Gita, and we are fortunate to be hearing this, because any contact with the Lord, his message or his devotees can only come by the mercy of the Lord. In today's verse, the translation says, in the human form of life, those who are self-controlled and expert in the spiritual science of Sankhya can directly see me along with all of my potencies. Hare Krishna. So, when we take the last word, along with all of my potencies, I am reminded of one incident that took place. I don't know how authentic it is, but I had heard it, so I'll just repeat it. There was our famous film star Rajesh Khanna. He was traveling in an airplane, and next to him sat an NRI. So he introduced himself and gave his card and told him what he was doing, where he was coming from, and then he very humbly asked him, may I have your introduction please? May I know who you are? Rajesh Khanna was so infuriated, because he was so well known a character, and here is somebody sitting next to him and asking me, who are you? He was so infuriated, he called the air hostess and said, change my seat. So why I am narrating this is, because here the point is mentioned, can directly see me along with all my potencies. So seeing a person is only a small portion of the real seeing. But to know about the person is really seeing the person. So he says, along with all my potencies, to seeing me along with all my potencies. So unless a person has some knowledge about the person whom one is seeing, one will not be really able to appreciate the personality in full. So that is what the Lord is describing here. So he is explaining briefly the qualifications required to see the Lord. The first point is to have a human form of life, in the human form of life. Until you have a human form of life, it's very difficult to relate to the Lord. Animals, insects, plants are other living entities. But they are also animated. They move. They do so many things. Some very much like human beings. But still this quality of relating to the Lord is absent in them. So therefore the human form of life is a special gift of the Lord, in which one can actually reconnect to the Lord. That is yoga. The second point is those who are self-controlled. So having attained the human form of life, what is the next qualification that you need to even approach or see the Lord? And that is self-control. And the third point that is mentioned is expert in the spiritual science of Sankhya. So the word is Visharada. So expert. But expert in what? So the word is specially mentioned, Sankhya. Sankhya is the analytical knowledge of the study of the body and the soul. But the Sankhya as enunciated by Lord Kapil Dev to Mother Devahuti also encompasses the special feature of devotion to the Supreme Lord. So that is complete Sankhya. Just analytical knowledge is only trying to understand the Lord through intelligence, and it is an impossibility. With intelligence you can never approach the Lord. So it needs quality of devotion, surrender to the Lord. Only then the Lord can be appreciated. Can directly see me, that is what he says. Just as we see each other in the physical form, one can see the Lord, but with these pre-qualifications. Human form, self-controlled, and knowledge of the Sankhya in the true sense, then one is qualified to see the Lord along with all his potencies, with full understanding of who the Lord is. Not just physically seeing, not just identifying, oh yes, this form I have seen, this is supposed to be the Lord. No. So one thing is to know who is God, but it is another thing to know how great is God. To know God is very common. Everybody says God is great. But how great is God, that is what the scriptures teach us. And that is what is elaborated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Vedic literature, in the Bhagavad Gita, etc. So, these three aspects, and then here there's one more point that is mentioned in the beginning of our purport. A spiritual master becomes bona fide by his full surrender to his spiritual master. So how do we understand the term spiritual master? So the qualification is spiritual, not just master, but the qualification of the master is spiritual master. So one who is qualified in the topic of spirituality, and one who can guide his student on the path of spirituality, is the spiritual master. As we already know about it, that spirit is the opposite of matter. So matter is that which you can perceive with your senses. So this operative word for today's talk will be prapashyanti. Prapashyanti means to perceive. Perceive means to see, but not only with the eyes, but to see further. So actually, in the dictionary meaning of perceive, it is explained, one is to see with the senses, That is the normal sight. But the second meaning of perceive is given as to have insight. That is to see what cannot be seen with the material eyes. To see beyond the visual field. To see what is hidden, or in other words, to try to read between the lines. That is the actual meaning of perception. And that is the perception Krishna is talking about. One must have if one wants to see the Lord. It only takes a fool to see what is in front of you. But to see what is not seen by the material eyes, that is true vision. And that is visionary. Prabhupada was a true visionary. We have the famous incident when he was sitting in a park and somebody approached Prabhupada. And he asked him, "So, you are a guru? So, what is your organization?" Something to that effect, the question was asked. And Prabhupada, almost like sitting in a trance, he said, "Oh." At that time, I don't know whether the ISKCON was even formed at that time. But he said, "I have many temples around the world and thousands of disciples. But only time is separating me from them." That was his qualification. The last he said, "Only time is separating me from them." So this is a visionary. A visionary who can see beyond matter. Who can see beyond what is seen with the eyes. So what do you need to see the Lord? Not the charma chakshu, but the jnana chakshu. And that is why there is a very important point that is mentioned here. Actually, jnana is a factor in the bhakti yoga system. Since Krishna is jnana gamya, or the goal of all knowledge. So jnana gamya means the objective of knowledge. Just a few days back, His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu very elaborately spoke on this word jnana gamya. He said there are three aspects of knowledge. Jnanam, Gyayam and Jnana Gamyam. Jnana means knowledge. More or less information. Gyayam means the subject matter of knowledge. What are you studying? What are you trying to understand? And Jnana Gamyam means the objective or the purpose of knowledge. For what purpose are you trying to understand or know this? So, one must not only try to know Krishna, but one must also try to know for what purpose we are trying to know. And that is why Bhakti Yoga comes into the picture. Bhakti Yoga means to render loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Or to render devotional service, or to render service in love. So love is an important factor in Bhakti Yoga. And in total mood of surrender. So Jnana Gamyam therefore is a very important word. That applies to today's topic. So here, I think, yeah. Also one more factor is mentioned here, that one can act as one's own spiritual master. So also in that regard, one of the earlier speakers, I think His Grace Krishnadhan Prabhu, spoke nicely about the three pramanas. That is three ways of acquiring knowledge. One is pratyaksha, second is Anuman, and third is Shabda Praman. So he said that Anuman means application of intelligence, inference. Pratyaksha means to see with the eyes, the senses. And Shabda Praman means to hear from the authorities. So he said that to understand the Lord, we need all these three together. Otherwise it's not possible. Only by pratyaksha, he will not be able to. Anuman, that is application of intelligence, that is where the jnana factor comes in. So here it is mentioned, jnana is a factor in the bhakti yoga system. Factor means, supposing you have a figure, say 6. But 6 is a product of 2 and 3. 2 multiplied by 3 is equal to 6. So 2 and 3 are factors of 6. So they are the constituent ingredients of the whole. So therefore, jnana means knowledge is a factor in bhakti yoga. So knowledge that is properly applied, that becomes an ingredient in bhakti yoga. And not knowledge which is misdirected. That becomes mental speculation. That leads you away from Krishna. That is the difference. So here, the first point that is mentioned is the human form of life. And briefly touching upon that, there are some wonderful shlokas which emphasize how the human form of life is so very important. So one is you have Lord Rishabhdev quoting in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the human form of life is meant for actually God realization. He is explaining to his sons, and there are also so many other quotations in the Srimad Bhagavatam, so we are not going into all of them, but we are just trying to briefly touch upon that the human form of life is all along glorified. And those who are self-controlled. So what does this self-control mean? Self-control actually means controlling the senses. That is the real meaning of self-control. So to understand this, we need to delve a little bit into an important aspect of our personality, and that is the mind. In the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, verse number 4, explains what are the components of this human body, 5 gross and 3 subtle. Bhumir apo analo vayu kham mano buddhir evacha ahankaram iti yamme bhinnada prakritir ashtada. All these 8 elements together, ashtada means 8 elements, the 5 gross elements, bhumir apo analo vayu, that means earth, water, fire, air and space, and mana buddhi ahankar, the 3 subtle elements, together constitute 8 items, and all these put together are known as the inferior energy of the Lord. So that is also one of the energies. So that is what the human body is made up of. And one of the important constituents of that human body is the mind. So the mind is one of the essential components of the wonderful mechanism of a material body, especially a human body. Again, in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verse number 42 is explained, what is the hierarchy of these different faculties that God has endowed us with? Indriyani parani ahur indriyebhya param mana manasastu param buddhir yo buddhir paratastu sahab. So you have the sense objects which can attract the senses, that is part of the body. But these senses are controlled by the mind. And above the mind, the controller of the mind is the intelligence. But this intelligence needs to be controlled by the soul. And needs to be purified. Otherwise, the whole system can be disturbed. Therefore, the mind is a very crucial element. And the senses are by nature very wild. They need to be controlled. They are like the horses in the chariot of the body. It's been described, the 5 horses are like the 5 senses. And these horses, unless they are properly reined in, will not serve a purpose. They can become destructive. Therefore, to control the mind is a very important element of progress in spirituality. Intelligence controls the mind. Soul, when pure and strong, directs the intelligence. If soul is weak and impure, then the senses take over. They are captivated by the sense objects. This is where vices come in. Lust takes over and takes the upper hand. And domination of the senses, or rather the sense objects, begins to take place. The senses become uncontrolled. There is no shelter open to the attack by the sense objects. This is what happens to a person. So that is also explained in the Gita. Dhyayato vishayan pumsa shupaste sang jayate, sangat sanjayate kama, kamat krodho vijayate, krodhat bhavati sammoha, sammoha smriti vibhrama, sati brahmshat buddhi nasho, buddhi nashat pranashyati. So what is the result? That is fall down, pranashyati. Now, if the mind takes control of the senses, the sense objects become powerless. A disciplined person is one who follows discipline. And disciple is one who follows discipline. Shishya is one who accepts shiksha. If the mind is corrupted and fed on sense objects, it cannot control the senses. If the mind is fixed on Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then mind becomes purified and strong. So purification of the mind means fixed on Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is given his due place in one's mind, then the mind becomes strong and can easily control the revolting, unruly senses. The sense objects then become powerless. The trend is reversed. Intelligence is purified by the study of the scriptures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, when bows down to the Lord, not just physically, but with the mind, dil se, by surrendering one's heart, then there is purification. But this mind is not visible like the limbs of the body. It is part of the subtle body. The Lord is sublime and the mind is subtle. The Lord is also not visible to the gross senses. He is sublime beyond material vision. But He is available in the range of the vision of knowledge. So Veda means to know, Vedas means the body of knowledge, and the original knowledge are the Vedas. Krishna says, Maya mukta jivera nahi swata Krishna gyan, jivera kripa kaila Krishna Veda Puran. This knowledge of the Vedas is therefore Krishna's mercy by which we can see Him, connect to Him, by which we do not get lost and remain sheltered and protected. Gita is the sum total of all the knowledge. The summum bonum of all the Shastras is the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Gita is the summary. So in this period, so gifting one a Gita means giving that person a connection to Krishna. And to elaborate on the power of the mind, there is a classic example in the Chaitanya Charitamrit, the story of Narsimhanand the Brahmachari, who decorated the path for the Lord, for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to Vrindavan with the choicest of rubies. But how did he do it? With the mind. He was meditating and he was creating a path for the Lord to go to Vrindavan, because the Lord announced his intention to go to Vrindavan. So what did he do? He selected the choicest of rubies, gems, and made the path free of pebbles and decorated with lotuses and beautiful aromatic flowers and offered fruits. And he provided fresh drinking water on the path. All this he was doing with his mind. And he was having a feast, making this arrangement for the Lord. He was completely engrossed in it. But when he came to Ambikakulna, he could not go further. He could not do it any further. So then he could understand. He could not construct the road any further. Till then it was smooth sailing. So then he declared, the Lord will not go beyond this point. He will not go to Vrindavan. He will return from here. So we see in this classic example, this was a real fact that happened, how even with a mind one can connect to the Lord by purification of the mind, by focusing the mind on the Lord, by engaging the mind in the Lord's service completely, with full engrossment, with full, dedication. So the mind therefore is a very, very potent force, and therefore it is explained that those who are self-controlled, and the mind is a very important instrument in controlling the senses. And because we have just been in Shivaratri just yesterday, and therefore when I recollect one prayer that my mother had taught us when we were children, that along with my siblings I used to recite this, and that again the quality of the mind is brought about. Ratnai kalpidamasanam himajalai snanam cha divyambaram nana ratna vibhushitam brangamadam modangidam chandanam jadi champagavilva patra rajidam pushpam cha dhupam tatha deepam deva dayanide pashupate rilkalpitam gruhyadam. And further it is explained, Karpura kanthojvalam tambulam manasa maya virachitam bhaktya prabho svikuru. And further on it is said that గీతం చ నృత్యం తథా సాష్టాంగం ప్రణది స్తుతీర బహువిధా హేతల్ సమస్తం మయా సంకల్పేన సమర్పితం తవ విభో. సో దిస్ వర్డ్ సంకల్ప ఇస్ కమింగ్, దెన్ ద వర్డ్స్ మనసా ఇస్ కమింగ్, అండ్ ఆల్ దిస్ వర్డ్స్ యాక్చువల్లీ దే సే దిస్ ఇస్ అన్ ఆఫరింగ్ టు లార్డ్ శివ విత్ ద మైండ్. సో రత్నై కల్పితం ఆసనం, దట్ మీన్స్ ఆఫరింగ్ a throne made of precious jewels. So actually what we may not be able to do physically in this world, we can always offer it to the Lord with our mind. And when this mind is thus engaged in deeply meditating on the Lord, then what happens? It is absolutely in completely in control of the senses. The senses have no chance to escape and run amok and drag us into degradation. We are protected, we are saved. So simply by engaging the mind in the service of the Lord, meditating on Him, hearing about His glories, understanding Him and relating to Him, and engaging in various devotional activities, engaging the gross senses also in this service of the Lord, one can easily purify one's existence. And then we have this next point that is mentioned is, in the human form of life, we mentioned about that, then those who are self-controlled, we spoke briefly about that. And expert in the spiritual science of Sankhya. That means, Sankhya means, it is explained that it is analytical study of the body and the soul. So, in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, verse numbers 10 to 30, it is complete description of the soul. But in the Uddhava Gita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Lord Kapil Dev is speaking about this to his mother Devahuti, he is describing it in terms of relationship, that what one is supposed to do in life, what one is not supposed to do, how one is to guide one life, and very beautifully explains. So that is Sankhya. And further he emphasizes complete devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this understanding of Sankhya, what is important is the element of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga means completely relating to the Lord in a sense of surrender. So, yeah. So in this regard, I recollect some one or two incidences, stories, which His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj mentioned recently during the book launch at Shanmukhanand. And it was very, very instructive. And I think it has some relevance to what we are talking about today. So I would like to briefly relate or just say what the Lord had, what His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj explained over there. So he said that in Srirangam is the place where Sripad Ramanujacharya worshipped the Supreme Lord Ranganath in the Sri Sampradaya. And the year 2017 was his 1000th birth anniversary. That was the year of 1000th birth. That means he was there 1000 years behind. 1000 years before he had appeared and performed his pastimes. And there is this incident during his lifetime. His successor, he was grooming, and that was, his name was Parashar. So Parashar at that time, when this incident took place, was a small boy of 5 years old. And at that time, one Digvijay Pandit came to Srirangam. So he came riding on a palanquin with bearers carrying him, people ahead, people behind, with a band in attendance, with great pomp and revelry. And he was coming with an open challenge. There is no question the Digvijayi cannot answer. That was his challenge. And he would seek out some of the scholars and challenge them. So the scholars had deserted Srirangam. They said, we don't want to face this man. We don't want to get entangled with him. But there was this small boy, Parashar, who was standing there. And he came up to him and he told, I have a question for you. Now, the Digvijayi was baffled. He said, a small boy of 5. He said, see, your mother's milk is still sticking to your lips. You go back. Debate is a serious matter. So this boy said, you claim to be knowledgeable. Then why do you estimate my personality with the size of my body? I am just 5 years old, so you're disqualifying me. Can you answer my question or no? So now he was compelled to answer the question. He said, okay, what is your question? He just bent down, put his hand to the ground, picked up a fistful of sand and held it up and told him, how many grains of sand are there in my hand, O Digvijayi, can you tell me? Now he was completely baffled. Nobody had ever asked him a question like this, and he was not expecting a question of this nature. He became speechless. And then, this boy told him something as a small child. So there was no malice in his heart. He just told him, as a matter of fact, you are blinded by arrogance. You cannot see good qualities in others. A tree without good fruits bends down, and a person with good qualities bows low to others' virtue. All your knowledge is as worthless as this sand if it does not help you develop good character and devotion to God. The Digvijayi came down from his palanquin. He offered dandavat pranam to this boy and he said, please accept me as your disciple. So character is a very important aspect of one's personality. And there is another one shloka which also deals with this. Hastasya bhushanam danam satyam kanthasya bhushanam shrotrasya bhushanam shastram shilam sarvatra bhushanam. The ornament for the hand is charity, not bangles. The ornaments for the throat is not a choker or a necklace, but speaking truth. Truth emanating from one's throat. And the ornament for the ears are not Chintamani's nakshatra, but the ornaments for the ears are giving oral reception to the shastra. And the ornament for the entire personality is good character. And that character is coming when one becomes self-controlled. So, there is also another one beautiful incident which is there, but I think I'll have to quickly hurry through. But I think I'll mention it anyway because it is so nice. I would like to share it. Of course, all of you know it, not that you don't know it. But I think some of these things when we speak, it's helping us to purify ourselves. I may speak more for my own purification. Similarly, there is another incident again in the life of Parashar when there was a devotee who walked up to him in Srirangam and he asked him, what qualities do I need before I am able to realize who I am? So it's God realization. To see God means to realize God. And God realization comes with self-realization. Unless one knows who are we, you cannot even know who is God. Because we are part and parcel of God. We are of the same quality. Therefore, this disciple was very sincerely inquiring. Who am I? How do I know it? Who am I? What are the qualifications one needs? So then he said, you go to Tirupati. There you have Anantacharya. He will answer you. So he walked 400 miles through forests and hills through great difficulties, and he reached Tirupati, and there he met this great saint Anantacharya who was serving there, and he asked him the same question. He didn't answer him. He just told him, oh, it's a very deep question, so I'll have to contemplate on it and I will let you know. And he offered him some food and some nice place to rest, and he was just around for the next 6 months. He was very menially serving him, and one day there was a lot of people coming to Tirupati. So he was engaging him in service. So he was serving prasadam. 1,000 people he served prasadam. Then he sat down to eat prasad. He said, no, another batch has come. Again a third batch, a fourth batch, a fifth batch. And at night, when all had left, then he sat down to have his prasadam. Then Anantacharya came and asked him, I think you had a question. That question was asked 6 months back. And after 6 months, he's coming and asking him. So immediately he sprang up from his seat and he repeated the same question. What qualities do I need before I am able to realize who am I? And at that time, Anantacharya told him. Very cryptically he answered, and actually he spoke in Tamil. So you can just repeat the same words in Tamil and then I will explain that in English. He said, Uppai pol irukkum, koliyai pol irukkum, kokkai pol irukkum, ummai pol irukkum. So the meaning is, you will be one who has the quality of a salt, quality of a chicken, crane, or one who is like you. Such a person is qualified to know who oneself is, who is the self-realization. So then he was baffled. He said, what is this? But then he was still humble. He went back. He thanked him. He went back to Parashar Muni and told him, please sir, explain now. I am not able to understand. This is too baffling. He said, okay. And he was immediately very, very elated. He said, what a beautiful answer. And he said, salt. One who is having the qualification to know oneself and to know God has to be like salt. He says, what are the qualities of salt? Let us analyze. First, one in spiritual path must find balance. Yukta hara viharasya. Balance in work and recreation, balance in sleep and activity, balance in material and spiritual practices. So, until there is the right quantity of salt in a dish, the dish is ruined. Too much of salt, you can't eat it. Too little of salt, you can't enjoy it. So there has to be proper balance. This is the quality of salt. So this is how one has to be in one's life. Controlled and balanced. Second point he mentioned was, salt, true yogis serve without wanting recognition and without wanting praise for themselves. They want to give credit to others, they want to give pleasure to the Divine Lord, and they want to benefit others. So this is the second quality of salt. Doesn't want any prominence for itself. So when you want to, when somebody makes very wonderful, delicious dishes and somebody is praising those dishes, they never mention what wonderful salt you have added to that dish. They will mention what wonderful sabji it is. They will, what wonderful preparation you have made. Wonderful raita or whatever they may say. But they will never say the mention of salt. But then the salt is the key ingredient factor over there. But always in the background. And the third point he says is, salt is completely dissolved in the preparation. It is never seen. It's completely dissolved. So we have to dissolve our ego in the same way when we are living in this world. Ego is the one which is separating us from the Lord and which is not letting us engage in loving devotional services, loving relationship to the other devotees. So that ego has to be fully dissolved, like the salt. So this is the three qualities of salt he mentioned. Then he said, chicken. What are the qualities? What chicken do? It will go and simply peck at the grains. And it will leave out all the other things. So he said, what we learn from the chicken is, find good in others and disregard the rest. Do not pick on the faults and shortcomings. Otherwise, not they but you will be polluted. Second point is, seek constructive opportunity in every situation and do not complain about the problems. Third, seek the essence of our spirituality and leave aside the disturbances, distractions. So this is the quality one has to learn from a chicken. And then the crane. The crane stands patiently on one leg. Patience. You have to learn the quality of patience. What does it do? Allows the small fishes to pass by. And when a big fish comes, it immediately catches. So to reach our goal, let small stuff pass. Do not be lost in the superficials. Third, feast on the big fish, that is, feast on the truth. Let the superficials go. Catch the principles. Let the details pass by. No gossip or propaganda of the worldly nature. That is the quality of a true Vaishnava. And then he told about you. He said, you endeavored with great difficulty. Just in answer to your spiritual master's question, you walked 400 miles. You undertook great risk. You menially served for 6 months. You were completely selfless and you displayed all these qualities. And then Maharaj explained very beautifully. This heart is like a field. The wisdom is like a seed. And the field should be properly tilled before the seed can be sown into it. So, the tilling is cultivating humility, gratitude, selfless service, and eager to know despite obstacles. That is determination. And when the seed is thus sowed in such a field, it grows. And love grows along with wisdom. The seed of wisdom grows along with that. Love will grow. When these qualities are cultivated, seed will only sprout in a well-tilled field. So therefore, what did Ananta do? For 6 months he was tilling your field. That is, he was giving you so much of time to cultivate these qualities. He was testing you for these qualities. And when he found that you have these qualities in ample measure and you had cultivated these qualities, then he put the seed of wisdom in your heart. That is, he gave you a cryptic answer. And now he has been so kind that he actually wanted to share this with me. He could have explained it himself, but he did not do that. So he came to me and now I am the benefactor of this knowledge. And then he said, this is the great quality of a true Vaishnava. So only when one is self-realized can one be God-realized and see the Lord everywhere. Uddhava had to travel as a sannyasi, seeing the Lord everywhere in samadhi. If we imbibe this spirit of seeing the Lord everywhere and in all activities in our life, then we can perfect our life. So one last shloka in this connection, that is from Nectar of Devotion, which is very relevant. Atha Shri Krishna Nama Dina Bhaved Grahyam Indriyai Sevan Mukehi Jivadau Swayam Eva Suratyadha. That means, Rupa Goswami also has emphasized, that the Lord cannot be seen with these physical senses. It's not meant for that. Only when you engage in devotional service of the Lord with the tongue, two activities, chanting His holy name, glorifying Him with the kirtan, and hearing His glories, and tasting the Krishna prasadam, then one can sufficiently grow in Krishna consciousness and then see the Lord everywhere with the purified senses and with the purified intelligence and with a sense of devotion to the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai.